This was for you. We made a tesh for you. I wanted to make it more of a chabura, more of a avira. So come closer. Come. Come to the table. Come. AB, Applebaum. Come closer. What'd you say? He's starting the board. Everyone has. Okay, so this week's parsha, this week's sedra, Rav Avinu has what we call the ultimate nisayon. The ultimate nisayon of Akedas Yitzchak. Rashi and Rambam and Avos Hey Gimel both bring down that Akedas Yitzchak was the ultimate nisayon. It's counted as 10th, as opposed to other Rishonim. Ben Yonah says it's the 9th. Sachs has a sikha on that. But Rambam and Rashi hold that Akedas Yitzchak was the ultimate nisayon. And if you think about it, it's very mistaber. Avram Avinu, the Amor HaChesed, his whole life is dedicated to Achnosis Orchim, to Kiyam HaMitzvos, to Be'adam L'Chavero, and now he's asked and tasked with an ultimate nisayon of being makriv his own son, Yitzchak, on Mizbeach. But says Rashi that we see from the pasuk of Akedas Yitzchak two distinct qualities that Avram used and implemented when he carried out this nisayon of Akedas Yitzchak. Look, the pasuk, Vayashkim Avram Baboker, Vayachvosh Es Chamoro. Says Rashi to the left, we can mendayik from each word. Vayashkim teaches us Nizdareis L'mitzvah. There's reason Makdim in the mitzvahs. In Yana Diyoma, Diana is going to give a chabura on this on Sunday. There's reasons. And number two, and this is even more pleiadic, says Rashi, Vayachvosh Hu Be'atzmo. It says that Avram Avinu was choyvesh, he saddled his own donkey. V'lo tziva le'echad me'avadav. And he wasn't mitzavah to one of his avadim, and he had plenty of them, multiple avadim. Avram was very rich, very wealthy. Yet he still was not mitzavah his avadim to do this. Why? She'ahava mekalkelis es ashura. That ahava, when a person is so impassioned, he is so infatuated to do a Kodesh Baruch Hu's ratzon, that ahava, that mid of ahava, was mekalkelis es ashura. It disrupted the order of things. And so even though he could have easily asked one of his avadim, his 318 avadim, to be chovish his own donkey, he himself, bechvodo uve'atzmo, of Rom Avinu, went out of his way to be chovish his donkey. So we see, number one, Zrizus, and number two, he was mevazeh himself and didn't ask one of his own avadim to saddle his own donkey. And this is for the nisayon of Akedas Yitzchak. Now what's pleiadic is that these exact two qualities is also found in a parallel maisa in Chumash. By Bilam, the next pasuk says by Balak, in Pasuk's Balak, Chav Beis Chav Aleph, Vayakam Bilam Baboker, okay, not Vayashkim, maybe he didn't have his rizus, but he was definitely Vayakam Baboker, early in the morning, Vayachvosh Es Asono, and he saddled his own donkey. Says Rashi, Mikan Litzad Hara, Mikan Shehasina Mikalkelas Zashura. Bilam, because he had such a passion to mekalel Klal Yisrael, he wanted to give a call to Klal Yisrael, but he had such a sinus Klal Yisrael, sinus Hashem. That sinna also disrupted his order of things. And instead of asking one of his avadim to mechovesh his donkey, he did it himself. So we have Atzad Atov Avram Avinu being chovesh his donkey, and comes along Bilam, and he does the same exact thing by the Maisa of Bilam. But then Rashi goes weiter, and this is Alpida's Gemara in Sanhedrin Kuf Hei. Rashi says, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Rasha, Bilam, HaRasha, Kvar Kadmocha Avram Avihen. Avram Avinu, the Av HaKadosh of Klal Yisrael, already preceded you in this Midah. You think you're going to have a Midah of Zrizus, a Midah of being Mevaz yourself, being Moser Nefesh, to Mekal Klal Yisrael, Atzad Hara? Guess what? Avram Avinu, thousands of years earlier, 1,000 years earlier, already preceded you in this midah. He already was the Zdaris, the mitzvah of Akedas Yitzchak, and he himself was Chovesh, his own donkey, way before you did so, Bilam. So don't think you're going to have any tricks up your sleeve. Says Rav Moshe, in Drash Moshe, on that pasuk. It's a pleiadic thing. It's mashma from Rashi, that there was a havamina, that be yisod. If Bilam HaRasha was Chovesh, his own donkey, and he was Nizdareis to be Mikal Klal Yisrael, be yisod, had it not been from Avram Avinu doing that 1,000 years earlier, Bilam would have somehow had a shlita over Klal Yisrael. He would have had some kind of koach over Klal Yisrael, and he would have actually succeeded in being Mikal Klal Yisrael. It's only bedavka, because of Kvar Kadamacha, Avram Avihen, Dafka, because Avram preceded him, that's why he was thwarted, and that's why he was preempted. But as for Moshe, why should that be? Bishlama, if a person is doing a midah letzad hatov, like Avram Avinu, okay, that's a very big kach. But because Bilam is doing the tzad hara, he's doing his midas of sinna, of sinas chinam, of sinas avas yisrael, and he's doing it with rizus, and he's being chovish his own donkey. Because of that mida, he's going to be successful in a midas hara. He's going to be able to succeed himself and able to be mekal klal yisrael. Why does Rashi and Alpi Chazal need Avram Avinu to have preempted and preceded Bilam Harasha? That's the kasha of Rav Moshe. And Rav Moshe sets down a yesod atzum. And it's chaval that we have sesame chicken now, because if you didn't have the sesame chicken, you'll be able to appreciate this yesod so much more. But okay, we have the sesame chicken, so I'll give you an added achrayis now to focus in on this yesod atzum. And we'll see how it is nogea to us in everyday life. Says Rav Moshe, a yesod atzum, that with any given midah that a person exhibits, a person uses in his avodas Hashem, that Klal Yisrael use for the sake of Torah and mitzvahs, any given midah is never going to be expected to go beyond what the Umos HaOlam do with that very given midah. So for example, he says, if the Umos HaOlam have a level 5 in terms of their zrizus when it comes to their gashmias, when it comes to Olam Hazeh, when it comes to their own pursuits of Olam Hazeh, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not be expect from Klal Yisrael to go beyond the level 5 when it comes to Torah mitzvahs. It has to be Shavah B'Shavah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to expect from a Yid to do more than what is normal, standard, Hishtadlus, standard effort, standard Yigiyah that when it comes to Umos HaOlam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not Tovem more than what is normal in the world. So he says like this. He says, Bilam had a chak. Be Yisod, really? Bilam has no shlita over Klal Yisrael. But what Bilam was doing is, if I take the midah of Zrizus, I take the midah of Chovishes Asono, of Mesiras Nefesh, of being mevazim myself for the sake of Sinah, now I'm raising the bar for how far Umos HaOlam go in order to accomplish their pursuit. And if I raise the bar, and I show that Mesiras Nefesh of an Umos HaOlam, of a guy, for the sake of Ra, is to such an extent that he'll wake up in the morning and Bilam, who had all the avadim he wanted, still was Chovish's own donkey and didn't ask any other avadim, that Chas V'Shalom would have created a kitrug on Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, we see that when it comes to Umos HaOlam, the midos that they're using goes to level 5, level 6 now. He raised the bar. If you're not raising the bar, then Chas V'Shalom, Bilam would have succeeded. Kamash Malan, because Avram Avinu already implemented the same exact midah of Mesiras Nefesh, of Zrizus, of being Chovish's own donkey, he not only preceded Bilam, he preempted him. Because there's no Kitrug anymore. It's Shavah V'Shavah. The same midah was used, Lera, was the same midah that was used, Letov. And so there's no Tviyah. Says Rav Moshe, for us, this is the Yesod Atzum in life. Because you see that Lemaskana, this is true Lemaskana, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says to the left, the maskana is maskin lezeh. That be yisod, if the Umos HaOlam are using their midos in a way for the Ra, for not or Gashmias, or Olam Hazeh, in a way that is above and beyond the bar that we set for ourselves in Torah and Mitzvahs, there's a Chas V'Shalom, there's a Tviyah on Klal Yisrael. There's a Tviyah, and we have to raise the bar B'Shavah B'Shavah. Now, based on this yisod of Rav Moshe, the Ksav Sofer answers three beautiful gemaras with this yisod. This idea that the Umos HaOlam can raise the bar of a certain midah, and we have to act in kind and parallel that midah for Torah mitzvahs, Ksav Sofer says we can use that to explain the following three gemaras, and with that, I'll show you a very important hashlacha, a very important practical application for our own avoda itself. Says the Ksav Sofer, this is found in his drushas. It's actually said right before a kayitzman to his bachrim in yeshiva. So Ksav Sofer says, Gemara of Odazara, Daf Beis and Beis, brings down that La'asid Lavo, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring a Sefer Torah, Munach Becheko, and he's going to announce to the entire world, by Yemos HaMashiach, whoever was Osek in learning, Yavavi Tol Schar, come, collect your Schar. So Miyad, the Gemara says, Malchus Romi comes along and he says, I built marketplaces, I built bridges, I invented currency, I invented all these different things. You know why I did all this, says Rome? Because Klal Yisrael, in order to help Klal Yisrael in their learning. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says back to Rome and to all the other nations with their tainas, Shaitim Sheba Olam, you guys are fools. You guys get no schar, because the only reason why you did it was for yourself, not for Klal Yisrael. Asks the Ksav Sofer, the Brisker Rav, asks the same Kasha, what was the Hava Mina of Malchus Romi or any of these Umos Olam? It's all my emes at that point. Mashiach is already here. It's all my emes. What were they thinking that we can fool a Kadosh Baruch Hu and say, you know what? The marketplaces that we built, it was all for Klal Yisrael. The currency, all for Klal Yisrael. We should get schar in Limud Torah. Plia, what's the Hava Mina Bichlal? Says, if you look at Brisker Rav, he has a Mahalach. We're not going to say that Mahalach today. But the Ksav Sofer has a beautiful Mahalach. I'll pee this Yisod. He said, what the Umos Olam were saying is, that Kol Zman, our Midas that we use, Lira, for Gashmias and for Olam Hazeh, are being used in a specific way. So when Klal Yisrael saw our marketplaces, when Klal Yisrael saw our currency, and they saw how much we invested, how much effort we put into creating an infrastructure for the entire world, Klal Yisrael Memela learned from us. They learned from how much a person pushes in order to accomplish in life. So all the accomplishments in learning that Klal Yisrael did throughout the millennia is all due to us. Had we not made the skyscrapers, had we not made the currency, they wouldn't know what it means to push yourself. It's only because of our Mesiris Nefesh, Letzad Hara, that Klal Yisrael learned how to push themselves in learning, how to push themselves in Torah Mitzvahs. So says the Ksav Sofer, that was their Havamina. The Havamina was that I can get Schar, and says the Ksav Sofer, he gets Ksas Schar for that Machshava. If Klal Yisrael learned and derived their Midos from the way that Umos Olam used their Midos for Ra, then that Taka will be a Schus for the Umos Olam. It says, Kosh Baruch Hu, Shaitim Sheba Olam. You fools, you didn't do it for that reason. Had you done it for that reason though, Enachanami. Because Klal Yisrael, it behooves Klal Yisrael to learn from the Midos of the Umos Olam. And with this, says Ksav Sofer, we can answer a second Gemara. The Gemara in Megillah Daf Vav Amud Aleph brings down a Pasuk in Zephaniah. Pasuk says, V'haya ke'olof v'Yehuda, that la'asid lavo, sare Torah, yilmadu berabim betartios v'karkisios. That l'umos Mashiach, the Sari Torah, the Marbitze Torah, the Rabbanim HaChashuvim, the Marbitzim, the Lamdanim, are going to be giving their shir in the stadiums and in the circuses of the Goyim. Says Ksav Sofer, why in the world, by Yemos HaMashiach, are we going to dafka go to MetLife or go to City Field in order to teach Torah Barabbin? We can build our own stadiums. At that point, we're going to be Ashirim, Mashiach is going to be here, we can build our own stadiums. Why would we dafka go to MetLife? Now, okay, Nebuch, we don't have a choice. We go to MetLife because we need to fit 100,000 people. But La'asid Lavo, we're going to have all the money in the world. Let's build our own stadiums. No, say Chazal. La'asid Lavo, we're dafka going to go back to Giant Stadium, dafka to City Field, dafka to MetLife, and give Torah Barabim there. Says Ksav Sofer, why? Says Ksav Sofer, Pleiadik. You got to read this inside. Says Ksav Sofer, the bottom, number 8. Says Ksav Sofer, because when you're in those stadiums, what is it going to remind Klal Yisrael? Look at how these Goyim came to these sport events. And they invested so much money in the advertisements, Budweiser, and the stadiums, all the different levels of the stadium. Look how much money they spent on hot dogs. Look how much time they spent in the stadium late at night when it's overtime or when it's in over period of baseball, whatever it is, extra innings in baseball. And they are mamish there and they're tito tshina me'enehem. They have no time to sleep and they still push themselves to watch the game, the last play. And some of them don't even have shirts on in the cold and they're still pushing themselves. Look at how the Goyim acted when it came to their sports events. Says Ksav Sofer. That's exactly why we're going to be teaching Barabbin in those stadiums. So that we have a constant reminder. Godol Re'iyah Mishmiyah. We have a constant reminder. Look what they did. So Al Chas Kama V'Kama, when we do our Torah Mitzvahs, we have to learn from the way they were Moshe Nefesh for their Ra. So too, we need a constant reminder. So La'asid La'avo says the Ksav Sofer, we're going to be teaching Torah Barabbin in the stadiums B'Dafka. So that we see how far they went. And that when we get tired and we're about to go to sleep, we're going to push ourselves a little bit more. Maybe we won't take our shirts off, but we're definitely going to push ourselves a little bit more because of what the Goyim did, that's Tzad Hara. And lastly, finally, the third Mar Mokum that he wants to explain with this Yisod is Rav Nechunah ben Akaneh. A whole different pshat in Nechunah ben Akaneh. Brachas Chavches. We say this every morning, and then we go to sleep. Shanu Mashkimim, Vehe Mashkimim, Anu Mashkimim Dvarim Torah, Vehe Mashkimim Dvarim B'Telim. So Pashup Shat, when Chodim Ben Akana is giving us a nice tefillah. They go out to work, they go out to do X, they go out to do Y, they go out to do whatever they want, their hobbies, they go to the beach. We wake up to learn, we wake up to daven. Very simple, like just a comparison. Says Iksav Sofer, no. There's a much deeper amkus to this tefillah. Where Rav Chanan ben Akana was telling you, when you read this tefillah, is, Hey Mashkimim! Wow. They wake up at 6 a.m. to catch the train to go to the city? I also should also maybe try to wake up a little bit earlier than 7:45 to learn. If they do that midah, and they push themselves to learn, to do whatever they want to do, Bein Hasdarim, so to speak, during their lunch break, they're catching up on sports, so also too, when I'm during my lunch break, I should also catch up on extra learning. It's not just a parallel. It's Hey Mashkimim, we're learning from their Hashkama to our Hashkama. We're learning from their Midah to our Midah. This, says Iksav Sofer, which is Alpi, the Yisod of Rav Moshe, is this Nikuda. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects that whatever Midah the Umos Olam are acting upon and the way they are implementing that Midah has to be the same bar when it comes to Torah Mitzvos. So Ad Kan, it's a very nice Machshava in terms of Klal Yisrael's expectation and Kitrugim on Klal Yisrael and Tviyah of Klal Yisrael for how they have to act for Torah Mitzvos. But I want to take it one step weiter, which I believe this step really hones in on a Ben Torah's life in Avoda Torah Mitzvahs. I was actually just as a Maisa, I was in Torah Masorah Convention this past Shabbos, and I met a couple there who I actually know from Farakway, and they actually, Taka did this exact Midah. It's unbelievable what they did. Mamash, this Sunday is going to be the culmination of what they did. I don't know if you ever guys... You guys live maybe more in wealthier towns, let's say, maybe Kew Garden Hills, maybe Five Towns, whatever it is. But let's say in deep Far Rockaway or in deep Brooklyn, you'll very often find Goyim walking around with shopping carts. And what are they doing? Filling in with cans and recyclables. Why? Because there's some kind of a deposit, a 5 cent deposit, that if you go to ShopRite, you go to the different markets, you get 5 cents back. So after, if you take a lot of bottles, you can mamish get $1,000, $2,000 after a week by just going around with a cart. Okay, that's what Goyim do, and it's always a little bit interesting. You put your stuff in the garbage, and all of a sudden the next day you see it wide open. Okay, you put it back in together. Okay, that's what Goyim do. So this guy, unfortunately, him and his wife don't have children for the last 5 years, 6 years, and he wanted a schus. And he said, oh, we don't have money, but the Goyim, They're making money this way. Let's write a Sefer Torah by collecting cans and recyclables. Collect all that, and over time, we'll be able to write a Sefer Torah. And that's exactly what they did. 3 years ago, they started collecting can after can after can, bottle after bottle after bottle. And they started getting global and more viral. People started hearing about this. Wow, they actually had a whole slogan called Trash for Treasure. And slowly but surely, the first year he told me, $3,000, that's all they made. Like, we're not doing this. This is going to take us years until we get to 50 grand, let's say. He said, but the next year, it got so global and so viral in the Five Towns in Farakaway. This school wanted to be part of it. This school wanted to be part of it. There were bins. I was on his route. He picked up by us. And he picked up by us. And so, slowly but slowly, the second year was 20 grand. And the third year was another 20 grand. And now this Sunday, Mamash, 2 days from now, this Sunday, 3 days from now, he's having a Northwood mirror and a Hachnasa Sefer Torah of a Torah that he wrote with a sofer, all from money that was gained by recyclables. That's exactly what he sowed. He took the Midah, okay, it's an extreme one, the Midah of the Umos HaOlam to go so far, to be so desperate. And okay, what do most people think, like I do? I don't have money, I'm not going to be able to write Sefer Torah. Okay, I'll buy Svarim, I'll rely on the Rush that Rosh Hashiva always quotes. The Rush, buy Svarim, that counts. No. He took his time and he told me it was disgusting. People don't put recycles, you know, clean. They pour everything down, they put it into the recycle bag. No, no, no. There's oil, there's tomato sauce, it's mixed up. He had to sort each one, cans, bottles, separately. And he has to count each one. Him and his wife in a back Lawrence garage had to count each one in their mind and not be able to speak to each other, because if they speak to each other, they'll miscount, they'll start all over again. When you give it to them, you have to have the exact amount. Otherwise, it's a Chilul Hashem. He'll see, oh, you're trying to cheat me. You said there's 250 bottles, there's only 220? He mamish for hours, a day, for the last 3 years. And now he's writing Sefer Torah. That's this yisod. Trash for treasure. This yisod of using the midas of the Umos HaOlam and using it for Klal Yisrael. But I want to take it one step further. It's not enough to just think about this in a Klaliistic level, but on a Pratiistic level. When we utilize our own midas, are we consistent with our midas when we do them for gashmias and when the way we do them for ruchnias. How consistent are we? How holistic are we? How lishitase are we? Do we find ourselves pounding and cramming and making sure that we feel tangible deadlines, tangible achrayas when it comes to our limudei chol and our grades, and we'll lock ourselves in the library for 2 hours, 3 hours in one of those booths. No one can talk to you. Your phone is off. And you're chazering and chazering, if I can even use that word. You're reviewing and you're reviewing for a test. But when it comes to learning, perhaps our achrayas is not as tangible. Perhaps our dedication to our learning is not as tangible. And when we have a test coming up in learning, if we even have that, it's much less consistent. And so you think to yourself, yeah, it's so hard to chazer and to remember everything. But 1 second, just a week ago, just 2 weeks ago, when it came to midterms, when it comes to finals, you could do it. You could completely isolate yourself for 3 hours with your phone off, chazering and reviewing for a test. So are we consistent when it comes to our midas? Chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom. There shouldn't ever be a tviya or a kitrug on ourselves. If we're using our midah letzad hagashmish, which is valid and justified, but we're doing it in an off-kilter balance, and when it comes to ruchnias, it's much less, that's a chisar in yashras. That's a chisar in being a yashar eved Hashem. A yashar eved Hashem is consistent. My midas, whatever level they are, have to be consistent. It's something that we have to think about. That when we talk about our midas and how we implement them for Torah mitzvahs, they better be shava v'shava with ruchnias and gashmias. Rav Mishkiach actually mentioned to me once, many years ago, when I was a bacher here, about 10 years ago, he said he was once in the Beis Medrash, and then Ani came to collect, and he didn't have his wallet on him. He said, "I'm sorry, I don't have my wallet on him." Then a second later, he said, "1 second. Last week, I didn't have my wallet on me, but I wanted a Danish from upstairs. So I went to my car, to my parking spot, got my wallet, and went upstairs to get a Danish. An Ani comes my way, he asks for a dollar. I can't go to the same parking spot to get the same dollar to give it to him. How can that be? Hayitachin? My own midah? I just did it for a Danish. I couldn't do it for an Ani." And that's what he did. But that's the Muslim. The Ben Yehuda says in Kedushin Daf Lamed that if the Yetzer Hara wants to try to pull you away from learning, in Paga Becha, Menuvel Zeh, says the Gemara. If this Menuvel is Paga Becha, he wants to try to take you away from learning, Mashrehu lebeis hamedrash. Bring him into the Beis Medrash and go anyway. Ignore him and go into the Beis Medrash. So says the Ben Yehuda, why are we pulling the Yetzer Hara into the Beis Medrash? Just leave him out. He's trying to make you not learn. Ignore him and go into the Beis Medrash. What's Mashrehu lebeis hamedrash? I'll be this Yisod is Pashat. Because the same fire, the same ash that you have when it comes to the Inyanei Gashmi, the Inyanei Olam Hazeh, shouldn't be ignored when it comes to Ruchnias. Avada, take that same Yetzer Hara that is full of bren and hislahavus when it comes to running to a basketball game, coming to run to something else, to something that is olam hazadik, and use that power, use that ash when it comes to your ruchnius. Don't leave him outside. Mashcheu lebeis hamedrash. Rabbi Sachar Friend once said as well that the medrash says that yeshlo mana rotsa masayim. Person has $100, he always wants 200. Said her friend, Chazal are not munning a person for wanting more. Wanting more, having bikush, is an important midah. It's ambition, it's she'ifas. What Chazal are saying is that your currency is off. If you're only going to think money, rotsa masayim, I have $100, I want $200, but you're not going to say to yourself, I have a daf, rotsa dapayim, I want two dafs, then there's an inconsistency. Your she'ifas and your ambitions have to be consistent. Your midas have to be consistent. Now let's just end with a maisa, two maisim. Rabbi Lapyansky once said a very short comment which really shed upon this yisod. He said that there was once an avrich in the mir, and he was learning the mir for already 10 years. He was married with children, and kayadua, when you're in the mir, you're in kolo for 10 years, you're not flying back to America very often. So this guy, this avrich with three kids already, was not in America. He hadn't seen his family in already 10 years. And Punkt, his younger brother, was getting married that Zman. And his parents wanted him to come. So he spoke to his Rebbeim Avada. He had to go to his brother's Chasana. So his brother's Chasana was scheduled for Wednesday night. So he got a ticket for Wednesday, and he arrived in America, and he went to the Chasana, beautiful, and he came back Thursday night, Friday morning, to Eretz Yisrael. So one of his Chaverim said to him, "What are you doing? You haven't been in America in 10 years. The chasana was Wednesday. Mela, if it was Monday or Sunday, I understand why you came back so quickly. But the chasana was Wednesday night. Just stay for Shabbos. Spend time with your family. Spend an extra 2 days. What's the big deal? He said, but MS, you're right. But what would a lawyer do? What would a guy who has a boss do? If a lawyer has to take off from work, or a doctor has to take off from work, he would not do that. He would go to the chasana and he'd be back the next day for his job. So how can I do that? How can a doctor be better in his midas than me? That was Rav Aaron Lapiansky's line. He said that 12 years ago on a phone call that I heard the shiur through, and that mamish changed my entire perspective and how to implement our midas. It's a chisari and yashras if we don't do that. And lastly, Rav Shmuel Birnbaum. We all know the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir in America, in Brooklyn, Zatzal, is known to be one of the biggest masmidim hador in America, probably the biggest masmidim hador. They say of Hamaisa about him, it's a side Maisa, that when he was coming from Shanghai, from the Mir, they came through California and they were passing the Golden Gate Bridge. And all of the Bachrim, whoever was there, all the Yidden on the thing, or all the Goyim even on the ship, ran to the mast, whatever, to the end of the ship to see the Golden Gate Bridge. It's a beautiful sight, glistening over the river, So they went to go watch, and they see Rav Shmuel learning his Sheikh Shmaitza, and they asked him, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You're never going to see the Golden Gate Bridge again. You might as well look. Listen to what he said. It's also a once-in-a-life opportunity to learn when the Golden Gate Bridge is right there. It's also a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I don't want to give up that opportunity either. Rav Shmuel Birnbaum was known to be a maskev. So it was yadua that if you wanted him to come to be Masada Kedushin by your chasana, you would have to have a very late chasana because he doesn't leave before second seder is over. Second seder in the Mir ends around 7-ish. If you want him to be at your chuppah, not before 8 o'clock. Not happening. And kayadua, that's what happened. Any Mir bachar who wanted Rav Shmuel Birnbaum to be the Masada Kedushin had to wait till 8 o'clock for him to be Masada Kedushin. Okay. So one time, his own granddaughter, grandson, was getting married. And he looks at the invitation, and it says Lakewood. And he's not going to be able to make it by 8 o'clock, even if you want to say 8 o'clock, to Lakewood after the second Seder. So he goes to his child, whoever it was, the chasana it was, and he said, why are you doing it at Lakewood? You know that I can't make it to be Masada Kedushin in time. He said, Zaidi or Abba, Tati, you're right, but we don't know what to do. The Brooklyn chasana is $5,000 more expensive than the Lakewood chasana. We had no break. We had no choice. We can't afford it. So Shmuel Birnbaum didn't do the following. He did not do the following. He didn't say, okay, Lemaisa, they can't do it. This is family. Family comes first. And I'm going to still come at the right time. He took out a checkbook. And he wrote a check for $5,000 and told him, make the chasana in Brooklyn. And that's what he did. That's what it means to be yasher in your midas. If I'm going to pay money, if I'm going to be so machmed on my time when it comes to other people, even for my own family, I'm going to make sure to put my money where my mouth is. I'm going to spend the $5,000 in order to maintain my siddurim. That should be our approach and our perspective when it comes to being a ben Torah and avod Hashem in general. As long as you're consistent, you're in the clear. But make sure you're consistent. Whatever midas you use when it comes to gashmius or olam hazeh is justified and valid. But you better make sure that when it comes to your ruchnius, those same needles are being used in the same exact way, if not better. Everyone should have a great Shabbos.
I'm also a famous story of him in the helicopter, right? You know, the picture.
Which one?
He's a helicopter.